BFM's Budget 2019 programming, presented to you by Masing.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is just about 6:05 in the evening, and as promised, we are continuing our Budget 2019 discussion. But before that, because our show today is very money themed, we've been talking about retirement, we've been talking about transparency in terms of salary, and we've been asking you what you think. So we have received a number of messages. Kevin says, "I'm against transparency in salary because each individual is motivated differently. Some are after money, some are ego, some just want more power or responsibility. How can it be practical?" And I think we're not necessarily talking about the emotional dimension of how much you earn. This is really more about value, right?
Yes.
I think so.
I absolutely agree with you, Lynn. And also, I guess this is, it creates a level playing field, especially when it comes to gender dynamics with regards to pay.
And racial dynamics
in this country in particular. So all of these things I'm not saying they can be solved with pay transparency, but what makes for awkward conversations will actually push maybe employers in the right direction with regards to these things. Because right now, they don't have to have that conversation, right? When they meet you once a year for your yearly evaluation, it's you and your immediate bosses, and that conversation remains secret and private for the most part.
I think also, whatever your reasons may be for however much you want to earn, at least having transparency gives you context for when you go into those discussions. Whatever your reasons for earning however much may be. Toh says, as far as Gump says, and I'm really having to resist doing the impression, life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. That was a struggle, I have to say. Chan Wan Yin says, definitely for pay transparency. This is one way to ensure fairness in pay based on merit.
Yes.
So, pretty mixed bag, I think. A fair amount of people kind of for it, and other people, I think, very understandably, just not into the awkwardness, which I can understand as well. Moving on. So we've been talking about, I think a lot of people might have been talking about nothing but, in fact, the budget. Over the weekend, it was announced on Friday, tabled on Friday. And since then, you know, after our show, I think people have continued to, we've kind of got more information now, and we need to kind of unpack that.
Yes, I mean, we've had a lot more time to actually read the budget and look at some of the nitty-gritties. I mean, not everything that was announced in the budget actually has been explained in great detail.
Yes, so, there's a lot of stuff where implementation is still a bit unclear.
Yes. The announcements are there, but I'm not sure how they're going to pull it off, right? And so the Malaysian Reserve, for example, had listed out, I guess, what they called winners and losers in this budget. And, you know, just to go through that list very quickly, first-time home buyers are big winners in this budget. I mean, earlier during our Market Watch segment, we were talking about this P2P initiative to try and encourage young home buyers or first-time home buyers to get into the game.
And how it's something of a REIT as well.
Yes, exactly. I mean, and there are little minutiae as well, you know, stamp duty charges for first-time purchases will be waived, you know, if your house is between 300,000 and 1 million. They're going to allow this property crowdfunding thing. They're also going to allocate a certain amount of money to Chagamas, 25 million ringgit, to enable borrowers to obtain higher financing from financial institutions, down payment support, all of that stuff.
And also, it was a very B40 friendly budget,
yes,
which is
a
good thing. But there has also been some discussion about whether or not in all of this, perhaps the M40 might feel a little bit, I wouldn't say hard done by, but perhaps left behind.
But that's the case with every budget, right, Lynn? I mean, we always talk about how every budget, nobody cares about the M40.
And of course, I understand why people say that, because it is very easy to fall into a middle class trap.
Yes.
And once you're in it, it's very, very hard to get out of it. And so I think you're always looking to at least see whether you've been thought of.
And also with the government, for example, until the middle class becomes a large enough voting bloc, they're pretty much going to, and this applies for any government, they're pretty much going to constrain that B40, right? Yeah.
Yes, and there's also some, I suppose people also want to know whether it's a business-friendly budget. So
yes,
these are the kinds of questions that we perhaps need a little more guidance on. So for some post-budget reflections, we're crossing over to Dr. Shankar Nambiar. So he's a senior research fellow at the Malaysian Institute of Economic Research. Nambiar, thanks for joining us on the program. Overall, what was your assessment of the budget? Was it a good one for this government's first attempt?
I think it's a very realistic budget. I think it takes into account the realities of the country and the external environment. And I think particularly the external environment, which is why this budget has had to go on a bigger deficit than one would have expected it to be, rather than trying to cut the deficit. And in view of the fact that we probably have a weaker external environment, it seems to me that the government realizes the need to encourage domestic demand. I think that's one part of the story. And the other part of the story, in keeping with the manifesto and to build the trust of Rakyat, I think quite a bit has been done on the disadvantaged sections of the economy.
And this is the country's biggest budget so far. What are your thoughts on that?
I think there is, yes, there is a big fiscal deficit, and it's not as if Malaysia has never had a fiscal deficit. It's actually had a long trail of fiscal deficits. Nevertheless, I think there is some commitment to ensure that the gap will be narrowed. And I think it wouldn't be prudent at this point to try to aim to balance the books just yet, in view of the fact, as I just mentioned, that we're likely to have more challenging times ahead. There's a great need to make sure that people have more purchasing power, to make sure that more aggregate demand is generated. And I think towards that end of ensuring that more aggregate demand is being generated, this budget works excellently. At the same time, quite clearly, the government has no intention of encouraging wasteful expenditure. We've seen a number of things that have been done in the months preceding the budget that it's going to be a tougher, leaner environment. And I think that bodes well. And I think the credit rating companies, et cetera, would take note of the fact that there's going to be more vigilance on the way money is spent, that there won't be costly, unnecessary government expenditure.
And as we discussed earlier, there is plenty of focus on the B40 group this time round. But over the weekend, there were comments that there's a noticeable lack of emphasis on the M40. Will this have a significant impact on that group?
I think rather the focus has been appropriate, it has been correct. And I think given the size of the population within the B40, it makes sense that this section is targeted. And I think this is the first step towards the current administration going about its fiscal policy. You would have had a very blunted budget if you attempted to take into account the needs of all sections. If you wanted to cater to the B40, the M40, it means that you would be trying to cover 80% of the population, and that probably wouldn't have worked as well. It gives it, I think, more focus.
There's also the new minimum wage of 1,100 ringgit, which is a 50 ringgit raise from prior to the budget was announced. Is this about as high as the government can go at the moment?
It would have been good if the minimum wage had been higher, I suppose, on grounds of on a more ethical note, I guess. But I think one has to take note of, once again, as I said, the realities on the ground. You need to take note that there is a great need to ensure that we remain competitive, especially in the face of the trade wars, the kind of trade tensions that are being experienced on the global front. It therefore becomes important to use just about any advantage you can seize upon. And I think since we don't have a tremendous cutting edge as far as technology is concerned, it might not have been the best possible thing to increase the minimum wage too much at this point. A lot of the areas that we depend on right now rely quite a bit on cheap and unskilled labor. Having said that, I think there should be a progression towards raising the minimum wage.
In terms of housing, the government is looking into implementing a peer-to-peer crowdfunding initiative to help Malaysians buy their first home. We spoke about that a bit earlier. Another move is to exempt the stamp duty for first home buyers. But when we spoke with our analysts last week, one thing that came up was that these initiatives seem to lean towards being more developer-friendly rather than aimed at selling houses at more reasonable prices. What are your thoughts?
I don't think it works to expect too much of the private sector to intervene on this problem. Within that scope of things, I think this seems to be the crowdfunding part seems to be an innovative approach. I'm not quite sure how well it will work out, but it certainly is an innovative approach. And I think it's interesting to see if this crowdfunding approach does bear the kind of results that the government expects of it.
Is this a business-friendly budget?
I think in various ways there are attempts that the private sector would find useful. There are some incentives that are specifically targeted at the SME sector. There is, for instance, the SME loan fund of 4.5 billion. There's also the reduction in corporate income tax by 1% for eligible firms. So I think that there is something in it to encourage the SME sector. There are also incentives which are directed on Industry 4.0. So, yes, there are items of interest for the private sector.
And would you say there were any missed opportunities for taxation? Because there had been rumours about potential taxes on carbon as well as inheritance, besides the soda tax. And the opposition's shadow budget had suggested carbon taxes and plastic bag taxes also.
I don't think the inheritance tax would have been a good idea. I think as far as possible, this particular budget has tried not to upset the broader sections of the economy. It's tried to be as friendly as possible. Generally, I think governments try to gain the confidence of the rakyat as they move towards an election year. Here the situation is slightly different. This is a government that's coming into power, which has been from the opposition. It's coming into power for the first time. It's therefore imperative that it gain the confidence of the people. In that respect, I think this budget succeeds very well. To have gone on an overdrive on taxes might not have been very productive at this point.
Right. So, Nambiar, we've had a lot of feedback about the budget. One of that was from Khairi Jamaluddin, who was quoted as saying the budget was a bit underwhelming, that there is not a single strategy to boost national development. And then when we spoke to Firdaus Rosli from ISIS Malaysia last Friday on the show, he also commented that he felt there was a lack of a bigger picture from the budget. Is that something you observed?
I think it was not an underwhelming budget. Perhaps it was overwhelming in the sense that it records a great deal of sensitivity towards the underprivileged, towards retirees, towards the common man on the street. Maybe not enough is being done, but it definitely indicates a keen sense of concern about the underprivileged. I mean, you can see that in various parts of the budget. I think the big picture is this. The big picture is that you need to spur growth. At a time when there are concerns about global growth, there are concerns about trade tensions, the Middle East is in a difficult position. There are tensions there, growing tensions there. Amidst all of this, I think it's terribly important to make sure that Malaysia's growth does not falter too much. I think that's the big picture. And I think this budget has captured that big picture.
Thank you for sharing your perspective. That was Dr. Shankaran Nambiar, Senior Research Fellow at the Malaysian Institute of Economic Research. Now, of course, we want to hear from you. What's your opinion on the budget? Because, of course, the budget is meant for us. We are the people it affects.
And you've had 3 days to digest it now.
Exactly, to kind of sit on it, read the articles. So what do you think? I mean, how has the budget impacted you? How do you feel about it? Is there something in there for you? Call us at 7733-2900. You can also WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. You are listening to The Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM's Budget 2019 programming was presented to you by Ma Sing. Reinvent spaces. Enhance life.